slim as possible.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
And with Christopher O'Brien, we are going to have a great episode this week. We'll tell you about in more detail a little bit later. But I want to talk to you about a couple of things, Chris. And the first is the age-old discussion about whether there was some military disinformation going on, particularly in the UFO field in the late 40s and possibly the 50s. We think of it continuing until the present day. But it goes back to, say, the Maury Island UFO case, where Kenneth Arnold goes to Tacoma, Washington, to investigate this case, and all sorts of crazy things are going on. Now, in respect to that, there's some comments from Jerome Clark, our favorite UFO historian, in a mailing list called UFO Updates, where he remarks there that Arnold wasn't the kind of person to really pay a lot of attention in terms of research. And, of course, his first book, his only book on the subject, was The Coming of the Saucers, which was partly authored by Ray Palmer. But Palmer published the book, and Palmer maybe exerted a strong editorial hand to the first part of the book, to put it mildly.
Same with Richard Shaver.
Well, Shaver especially, because Shaver's writing style was very straight ahead, very simple, but he wasn't a fiction writer. And Palmer, of course, was somebody who wrote science fact and science fiction, and so he would take what he got from Shaver, which was a straight ahead article. And I knew Shaver, and I was very familiar with his writing style, and he would take that and he would invent a pulp science fiction novel from the basic descriptions and everything.
Yeah. So your point is that Kenneth Arnold was embroiled in some weird sort of intelligence operation, you know, going on Ken Thomas's work and, of course, Kurt's work. So build the bridge here for us.
Well, part of it is that some of the information is only supported by what Arnold said in the book that he wrote with Palmer. And yes, we understand that Kurt Southerly talked to Kenneth Arnold some years before he died, and everything in that book was confirmed. On the other hand, we wondered, did Arnold really read the book or just assume that everything that he wrote down was translated in proper fashion by Palmer?
Yeah. Not like good old Bill Burns and Philip Corso, where you don't really have to wonder.
Well, you don't have to wonder because in that case, there were complaints that maybe the editing was a little bit too strong.
Yeah, the addition of material, I think, would be more appropriate.
Yes, indeed. And now, as far as the government is concerned, that takes us to part two of this discussion. Now, on a couple of times on the PowerCast, we featured James Carrion, and he is a former international director for MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. And he and they had a falling out, and then he resigned. Shortly thereafter, we talked to him. But lately, he's become more or less a skeptic about UFOs. And his position is that some of the stuff that we read about supposedly craft with advanced capabilities in the newspapers, particularly in the late 40s, was not there to report a UFO sighting or some kind of strange event. It was all about spooking the Russians, about maybe the Americans are capable of all this advanced aircraft. We shouldn't attack them.
Yeah. Yeah, you continue.
Well, I think that's the big part of it, whether some of these sightings were of that. And certainly two events we can say, was this all some kind of government experiment with new aircraft? One being the Roswell case and the way it was handled. First, it's a flying saucer. Then, no, it's balloons, but maybe we wanted people to think it was a flying saucer. Then, of course, the Aztec case. We have the book from Scott and Suzanne Ramsey. The book, of course, is called The Aztec Incident, Recovery at Hart Canyon, and it goes into a great amount of detail about what they found. But a lot of the book is also covering Scully's presentation of the Aztec and also the allegations that two of the key figures in that case were really just con men.
So basically what you're saying is James Carrion is falling down behind the assertion that perhaps many of these early 40s events that have now become the thing of myth and legend practically in the culture could have been misidentified U.S. Exotic technology.
Or they could have been deliberately fed to the newspapers, knowing that people would say, oh, my heavens, like, we've got all these science fiction movies of the 50s. We have Day the Earth Stood Still. We have It Came from Outer Space. All these movies that are forming part of our culture. My heavens, E.T. is here. But really, it wasn't E.T. is here. It is, look, Ruskies, look what we have.
Yeah. I think at face value, I don't think that washes. But if you add in the element of disinformation concerning potential exotic technologies that the U.S. maybe had been working on for those 2 years after the war, then it becomes a little bit more believable in my mind as a straight, solid disinformation program just to fake the Ruskies out, if as it were. I'm not sure if I would go there, but piggybacked on top of some sort of technological work that the U.S. was doing with its paperclip scientists.
Now, Project Paperclip was interesting. We talked about that in the previous episode, where the German scientist is basically put in a little Rolodex kind of card, and if they do the right thing, they can work for us. If they do the wrong thing, they are exterminated with extreme prejudice.
Yeah, ooh.
Well, of course, there are lots of possibilities. Oh, yeah. Well, of course, remember that Ian Fleming was an intelligence operative in World War II, and he used his experiences to form the character of James Bond. But if we look at what was going on there, we can look at several possibilities, that some of the aircraft were really secret weapons. Some of it was put there to give the impression that it's really E.T. to cover the testing of secret weapons.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's basically, if you look at all this stuff, you look at Maury Island as far as an intelligence affair, if you look at Aztec, the possibilities of Aztec, the possibilities of the Roswell case, or anything else that was weird in the late 40s, well, some of that may have been involving secret weapons. But, of course, there are people nowadays who follow the case in Roswell, and, of course, we can see this with Aztec, too, with the Ramses. And they would rather have us think it was really E.T. It could not possibly have been some kind of government experiment.
You know, I always go back to the Horton brothers and some of the very exotic, futuristic designs that they devised in the latter stages of World War II. And the kind of similarity that you see in photographs of some of the, you know, more exotic Horton flying wings, and what Kenneth Arnold reported in June of 47. I think there's some really interesting similarities there. And I think Carrion may be on the right track with his thinking. However, I think he's kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I think there's more going on during that crucial time frame of 47 through 53. There's much more going on in those 6 years that can be solely debunked as being, you know, the testing of exotic technology or some sort of disinformation program to, you know, do a sleight of hand trick with the Russians. The Washington flyover in what was it, July 51, I believe, or was it 50? I forget. That, to me, is a really important, compelling case, and I don't think that was us.
Speaking of strange things, we've got cryptozoologist J.C. Johnson joining us again, and he and you and a number of other people were involved in an unusual trip with some very unusual discoveries. Very unusual indeed.
Yeah, a little disturbing, actually, Gene.
Disturbing? I guess we'll have to find out why it's disturbing.
Yeah, well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay, what did happen on that strange trip just a few weeks ago involving David Childress, Ron Regeer, Clifford Mahudi, Gary David, J.C. Johnson? We also wonder if you won't send us a tweet at the Paracast on Twitter, and more. And J.C. Johnson is joining Gene and Chris next. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you. This is typical for many companies these days. Your colleagues work at home. Your colleagues are traveling for business. But you need to get everyone together for an important corporate meeting. Well, I have a solution for you, neighbors. Go to Meeting with HD Faces. You see, this way your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where in the world they are, and it takes only seconds to set up. You see, GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Of course, you need a computer with HD. We assume you have that. You want to see how easy GoToMeeting with HD Faces is? Well, my listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST to get that free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting with HD Faces.
How much are you spending on your protein? Did you know that at normal cooking temperatures, you lose 50% or more of the amino acids that make up your protein? This means you're throwing away 50% of your money when eating cooked proteins, and you're burdening your organs of elimination. Proteins are vital to your health. But to get the full benefit, they must come into your bloodstream as undamaged amino acids. One World Whey is processed in a unique manner to protect the amino acids so they're easy to digest and use at the cellular level. The health benefits of undamaged whey protein are well documented. They are healing, reduced inflammation, increased levels of glutathione, detoxification, weight loss, muscle gains, more energy, and a better sense of well-being. If you want to have the energy to achieve your dreams, consider adding One World Whey to your diet. Call 888-988-3325. Mention coupon code KNOCKOUT and you'll receive a free tube of Knockout Pain Cream with your order, which eliminates soft tissue pain in 10 minutes for 90% of users. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yes, we have J.C. Johnson returning to the Paracast so soon. So, J.C., the last time you were on, that wasn't too much for you, was it?
It never is. Never is. I never seem to shut up either.
Yeah, I tell you, dude, you're great around a campfire.
Oh, we can hear stories about his campfire exploits, but some of those stories may not be suitable for mainstream radio. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I came away from our trip to the Grand Canyon, I believe, Chris O'Brien and David Asher Childress and Mr. Mahoody gave me 2 honorary PhDs. I'm very proud of that. The one was a purely hard drinker, and the other honorary PhD I got was pure homeboy determination. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, I have to think that your degrees are probably more authentic than those of one or two people we've mentioned on the podcast over the years.
Yeah.
I always call myself a professor, but to channel the late Long John Neville, what kind of professor are you? I am a professor of ignorance.
Wow.
You like that, huh?
I like that.
Right. I want to get the story from your mouth instead of Chris's here. You guys all hooked up a few weeks ago.
We had a great time.
Okay.
Great time.
All right. So you hooked up a few weeks ago, and you had this great crew with you, and everybody has been on the PowerCast before, so these are old friends of ours. Of course, you were blessed by the Indian trickster himself, Cliff Mahoney.
Those damn aliens.
Yeah.
It's got to be his favorite line. You know, one of the stories he told me that I really got a kick out of is, you know, he's such a nice person, down-to-earth person. He had come across some homeless guy, I believe over in Albuquerque, and the guy asked for some food, and he brought him food, and then he came back and brought him some more food, and the guy needed some shoes and stuff like that. And he kept telling Mr. Mahoney, he said, "Those damn aliens keep coming in and taking my stuff. Now I need some more food, and I need this, and I need that." So Mahoney's kind of warming up to the guy, and he thinks he's going to get a really good story. And he hooks up with the guy again, brings him some more food, and he goes, "Look, it's one of those damn aliens." And he was talking about illegal aliens.
You see, nowadays, of course, the term is illegals, which can almost be a pejorative. It's almost insulting. You're an illegal. We don't pay attention to you. And that's one of those politically incorrect statements. But it's an interesting thing. So, JC, you and the rest of this amazing crew, which includes our own Chris O'Brien, got together a few weeks ago. What was the purpose of all?
I think pretty much the cat's out of the bag. We read back in the Arizona Gazette, I believe it was 1909, a Kincaid gentleman, I believe he was with the Smithsonian Institution at the time, was doing a solo trip down the Grand Canyon, and he happened to look up after a particular rapid, and he saw some tailings, which would tell him that there was either something being dug or some kind of mining activity going on. So with great difficulty, he climbed up about 1,600 feet above the canyon floor, and he found a doorway. And inside the doorway, he found a Buddha-like statue and some Egyptian things, a kind of a multicultural underground city. Of course, he didn't mention there were any inhabitants at the time, but we don't hear too much more about it after that article in the paper. But there's still a lot of intrigue, and Chris has known this gentleman who's done over 30 years of research, and that's kind of how we zeroed in on a particular area to go and possibly get above where the doorway is. And we were probably very close. What we need to do is go back in from river level and have a ground crew on the top, too, and kind of synchronize.
Right.
So we get to what we'll do is we'll take the raft down from Lee's Ferry. We'll drink beer for like 2 days and pee off the back of the boat until we get to the location.
But you got to tell me in more detail how this started, because we're just getting like the end of the story.
Okay. It's really simple, Gene. As many of the listeners out there know, one of my many hats that I wear is I'm a guide for private tours of Grand Canyon, where I take guests from resorts in Sedona, spend a whole day, 10 hours with them, take them up to the canyon. We drive along the South Rim, and I give them, you know, the quality and quantity of information that's going to make their trip a memorable one. Most people going Grand Canyon haven't been there, and it's a lot of fun. I've been up there almost 200 times, and every time I get to the easternmost part of the South Rim within the park at Desert View, I look across the confluence of where the Little Colorado Gorge comes into Grand Canyon and then does an S-turn and goes up to Lee's Ferry and then up to the Glen Canyon Dam. And I look across there and I wonder, man, it would sure be neat to go out there and stand right above the Sipapulima, or the Sipapu, which is one of the most sacred sites in North America, arguably the most to the southwestern Indians, the Hopi and Zuni in particular. And down at the bottom of this 5,000-foot cliff, about 3 miles upstream into Little Colorado, is the confluence of, you know, from the confluence of the Colorado, is this place of emergence. It's a 70-foot travertine dome with a hole in the top. It looks like the original design for a kiva, which is a, you know, a sacred space that Pueblo Indians do ceremony and stuff inside of underground. And so it was my idea to go out there with an expedition and a remote controlled, remote piloted helicopter with a video camera and do some aerial surveillance of the Sapapu area and then around the corner about 4 miles away, this potential doorway that was discovered by S.A. Jordan and G.E. Kincaid back in 1909 and do some surveying there and just kind of get a sense of what that part of the canyon system is like. Having been up there so many times, I just knew it was going to be spectacular. And I'm telling you, when we got to that point and we were graced with this view from there, it is hands down the most incredibly gorgeous thing I have ever seen with my own two eyes. And
unbelievable.
It literally took my breath away. And I've been to Grand Canyon almost 200 times, like I said, and nothing prepared me for what we saw. And unfortunately, it was, you know, in the 90s. There was a 40, 50-mile-an-hour wind blowing. I was unable to get a pilot to sign off on the safety of the gear by, you know, flying a remote-controlled helicopter in those types of conditions. So, unfortunately, on this trip, we weren't able to do any sort of aerial surveillance, although we'll talk a little later on, if you want, about an idea that we've come up with to use the wind to our advantage, use a giant box kite with a suspended camera. But that was basically, Gene, the inspiration to do it, and I just put the word out to JC and, of course, David Childress and his wife, Jen, and Ron McGarren and his wife, Dar, and Clifford and Gary David, you know, our archaeoastronomer friend. And we went out there, and it was very rigorous. It was super hot, windy. I woke up every morning with my tent collapsed around me. I'm never bringing that particular tent again.
You have to talk about the tent manufacturer. Maybe find one who's willing to sponsor the show and give you good tents for exploration.
Okay. I won't mention Ozark Mountain.
I guess we're not going to get any advertising from that company.
It is a good tent design. What it is, it's one of those instant pop-up tents. It pops up like an umbrella, and it's great, but it's not good in the wind.
No.
Not good in the wind.
My low-profile mountaineering tent for the next
We'll
show.
Be talking about
Mount
tents
Everest.
And strange happenings all with J.C. Johnson and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. Plant Skid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use Plant Skid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. Plant Skid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
OnlyBatteries.com is where to turn for all your battery needs. In stock, fresh, guaranteed. Fast shipping, non-rechargeable batteries, rechargeable batteries, battery chargers, custom battery packs, all brand names for all the batteries you use at home, the office, the cottage, and the car. OnlyBatteries.com. Get 25% off using coupon code 7500. Call right now, 1-800-660-7705, or visit OnlyBatteries.com. OnlyBatteries.com. That's OnlyBatteries.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Just a reminder that Rosemary Ellen Guiley has joined Chris O'Brien on some investigatory episodes, but not this one. We're talking about what happened, and we're trying to understand what happened when Chris and J.C. Johnson and David Hatcher Childress and all these people were exploring something in the area of the Grand Canyon, and we're trying to understand what happened, but we're trying to frame the background of this particular visit. So you got all these people together. How did you persuade all of them to participate, Chris?
I didn't have to persuade anybody. I just put it out there as a suggestion. Everybody said, hey, count me in. We agreed on a date, and we made it happen. Ron McGair showed up with two truckloads full of food and gear, and as I was sitting there in the heat helping him unload, I said, Ron, man, you got everything in here but the kitchen sink. And he goes, oh, no, got one of those too. And sure enough, he whips out a brand-new Cabela camp kitchen.
You know what? We have a special section on camping equipment. We can get a lot of advertising, especially for those who want to do these on-site investigations. Okay, so you got the camping equipment. This was meant, therefore, to stay there several days?
We were there 4 days.
Okay. And you're still here, so you came back at least. Or maybe...
Yeah, we did. J.C. had to leave the morning of the last day, and so he wasn't there when Gary David, Ron McGarrett, Clifford, and myself had our little journey overlooking the Sapapu area, which was south of the area that we were just describing before, right there at the confluence. If you go upstream up to Little Colorado, about 2.5-3 miles, that's the location of the place of emergence on the river. We were, of course, up above, 4,500 feet above. But getting out there was pretty rigorous, and the conditions out there are very, very difficult. There's no trees for 14 miles. It's very low, super tough sage, an absolute eggshell spiderweb of roads that you have to learn how to navigate by sheer intuition. literally.
Yeah, the 3 pages of directions you guys had, I think those ended up in the back seat.
Right.
Kind of went by after the end of page one. Oh, my goodness.
Page one, we realized that this wasn't working.
Turn left at the rock that looks like a bear, and turn right at the bear that looks like a rock. And, yeah, you know, it's tough directions, tough stuff.
We made it out there.
Yes.
We did have a very interesting time. On the last day, though, we really had a wake-up call. One of the things that we were doing while we were out there, it's all, you know, fine to be playing Indiana Jones or General Fawcett, or Colonel Fawcett out there in the wild exploring for unknown cities and all that sort of thing. But one of the other things that was foremost in my mind and in Clifford Mahudi's mind was to conduct a ceremony, a blessing ceremony, and in his words, an apology, at the place of emergence above it. And it was that last day that the four of us went out there that we stumbled on what I think is a major potential news story. We had noticed as we were getting closer, trying to find the nearest road that would lead us out to the rim. Subsequently, we found out there really is no road, but we were able to get within 2.5 miles of where Salt Canyon comes into the Little Colorado River Gorge, and we noticed these very unusual helicopter flights. And they seemed to be going down into the Little Colorado River Gorge, which is a no-fly zone. As we got closer, I was able to get video footage of what appears to be a fairly sophisticated helicopter, private. It did not appear military. But
we're not talking of a black helicopter here.
No,
are we?
No, okay. No. This is not. I don't want to stir that particular pot. But no, this looked like to be some sort of construction helicopter. It had what appeared to be about a 70-foot line, 50 to 70-foot cables slung underneath it. And the first load we saw looked like a bunch of pipes that were being carried in by the helicopter down Salt Canyon, around the corner, and then towards the Sepapu area in the Little Colorado River Gorge. And I must say, Clifford was quite horrified by this. And as we got closer on the return trip, one of the helicopters came within a mile of us as we were driving and immediately altered his flight plan and went down on the deck. And then the next flight that we saw, the one that I was able to actually videotape, they were trying to sneak into the canyon out of our line of sight. But we were just high enough so that we could actually see them about 3 miles, 4 miles away, diving down into the Little Colorado, but entering much sooner towards the head of Salt Canyon, as opposed to flying 500-600 feet above it and then going down. They were trying to sneak right down the extension of Salt Canyon down into the Little Colorado Gorge area. And we instantly knew that by them altering their flight plan and trying to, you know, for all, you know, appearances, trying to hide from us, we realized that there was something very suspicious going on, and subsequent research has uncovered a rather dismaying scenario right at the point where JC and I were describing the gorgeous view that we encountered that first day we went out. They're planning on building a casino with a restaurant and with housing for workers in a 25-27 mile road to get out there. And then there's going to be a mile and a half tramway that's going to go from the rim down to the confluence, which is right in the area of one of the most sacred sites in North America. This has already been signed off on by the Navajo, who are custodians of this area, even though it's a Zuni and Hopi sacred site. It isn't considered to be a sacred site by most Navajo, but it is by the Zuni and Hopi. It's their place of emergence. It's probably the most sacred site in the Southwest. And much to our dismay and consternation, we have discovered that this billion-dollar project has already been signed off on by the Navajo, and it may be tied into a new water grab that's going on by the federal government, getting the Indians to sign over water rights for the water in the Little Colorado. And there's also talk of developing uranium, potential uranium deposits in the area. And this Clifford, going out to do ceremony that day, watching this helicopter activity, it was really bummed out about it. And at one point, I said, well, Clifford, it doesn't look like we're going to be doing any ceremony today. And he rattled off some highly naughty words and said basically, hell no, no way.
So basically, and, he's capable really of performing upset. Ceremonies with words that maybe we don't normally use under such circumstances.
Well, commenting on why he wasn't going to do the ceremony, yeah, but his ceremonies are in Zuni. I'm not sure what some of those words mean, but I'm pretty sure they don't mean what he was saying in English.
Also, we've got the local chapter house up there, down from the Gap. They are protesting this development, and they're the Navajo, and they're protesting it. They're not going to sign off on it. We're trying to stir up some other entities through the Zuni and the Hopi and so forth to try to raise a little bit of hell on this. Because once again, here's how this works. With the tribe, and I've been with the Native Americans on the Navajo side for over 22 years, and I know how the politics work. You're probably going to get about five guys in high positions with the tribe that they're going to become millionaires, and then they're going to offer a bunch of dead-end tourist jobs, and they're going to push jobs. The thing is, there's nobody out there. They're going to have to move people out there to this area to work in this casino/restaurant, tramway, everything else. You know, just some more dead-end, low-paying tourist jobs. Can I fluff your pillow for you? Can I live a mint on your pillow? Would you like fries with that? It's a dead-end thing. It's not going to benefit anybody other than a handful of people and the developers. And they've already signed off on this so far, but not completely.
So the case here is, if there's money to be made from any undeveloped land, the developers are going to be there and do something about it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I don't think they have the complete green light to go ahead, and they've already seen the helicopter activity. They're dropping pipes down there. You know they're going to be pumping water up from the Colorado because there's no water out there. I don't know where they're going to get water for this resort.
We're going to have to figure that out, and we're going to have to look at the background of this area and to understand it even better. With Gene and Chris, we have J.C. Johnson. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Emergency Essentials has Mountain House deals in June. Going on now, Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies, does it again with up to 25% off Mountain House foods. Don't miss these savings. All Mountain House number 10 cans are 20 to 25% off during the month of June only at BePrepared.com. Mountain House foods have superior taste and a scientifically proven 25-year shelf life because they start with fresh or frozen foods, then cook, prepare, and finally freeze dry them. All the goodness, flavor, and taste are locked in as if handmade from scratch. Mountain House, the same great meals enjoyed by campers and outdoorsmen the world over. Hurry now through June 30th. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and the BePrepared.com low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com, sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, foodstore.com, or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
We have J.C. Johnson with Gene and Chris, and we're talking about an unusual area located at the rim of the Grand Canyon that developers are looking to exploit. Now let's look at the background of this place here. What is it about this area that makes it so fascinating?
In my opinion, it's the Grand Canyon in 3D. It's the wraparound effect. You are wrapped by the canyon. You're enveloped by the canyon. The view on the other side, I'll never go there again. I'm done. If somebody says, you want to go to the Grand Canyon, I'll say, I'll take you to the Grand Canyon. I've got the photos up on my Facebook, J.C. Johnson, and it's public. You know, you can go there and just look at the photos. But it was really just the most amazing view I've ever seen, and it was breathtaking. My knees got weak walking out to the point the first time when we got there. I could not believe what I was seeing. And we were making kind of funny jokes. You know, if the tribe knew what they had out here, they'd build a four-lane highway and put up casino. And we didn't jinx ourselves. Yeah, it isn't like we jinxed ourselves. This has been in the works probably long before March when they said they started this. It's been in the works for a long time.
They're squeaking it legally, I think. It's highly dubious in my mind that the activity that I was able to videotape out there is legal. This is a very sensitive cultural heritage area. It's a no-fly zone because of the national park. I mean, the reason why the FAA was formed back in the late 50s, early 60s was because of an airliner commuter jet crash over the Grand Canyon, which took 10 years to clean up, and it was right off of the point where we were sitting that first day. So there's some legal issues here that I think come into play, and these guys, they're feeling their oats because they're already getting started on doing something there. Now, Clifford brought up an interesting point, which I'm not sure at this point whether I would totally agree with him or not, but I think it's a very interesting observation that this may actually be a cover for some sort of development of the underground city that was discovered in 1909.
All right, let's talk about the underground city. Now we're getting into the area where we may have some paranormal aspect here. What underground city?
Well, J.C. did a good job summarizing the actual claim of discovery back in the spring of 1909. a prospector and a Smithsonian archaeologist allegedly stumbled on an underground city that was very difficult to spot the doorway. You had to be right in the right spot to even see it. They climbed up there. They went in. They found Egyptian and what appeared to be Tibetan Buddhist artifacts.
This is in Arizona.
Yes. This is right underneath the area where we were exploring on the east side of the Little Colorado River Gorge where it enters Grand Canyon. And there's a doorway in Marble Canyon about 2.5-3 miles upstream from there that supposedly leads into an immense underground complex that's not natural. It was manufactured. Supposedly mummies were discovered, statuary, examples of obvious cultural art from the Far East. This is where the story gets murky. Allegedly, the Smithsonian mounted an expedition and went out there and spent 3 months. We don't have any sort of documentation of this. Of course, all this has been denied over the years. People that have attempted to backtrack this story. According to the Smithsonian, no expedition was ever mounted, but there are some reports that they did go out there. One rumor has it that they actually were able to remove 109 truckloads of artifacts. Jack Andrews, who's an expert on this particular interesting scenario, claims that that isn't correct, that they never actually were able to find the doorway again, which leads one to suspect that if this story is true and if they did actually stumble on this, everything's still sitting there. And if that's the case with our technology today, with ground-penetrating radar, we know exactly where the doorways are. We know exactly the length, width, breadth, and depth of this particular complex. According to Clifford, he has a hunch that they may be down there, the combination of cleaning the place out and expanding it for the mucky mucks when the Mayan calendar ends and Y2012K happens and everybody else dies, that somebody has already got a leg up on going underground and being prepared for these earth changes supposedly about to occur. Now, that's obviously we need to look at that with a big block of salt, but find it very intriguing that the place of emergence should be just right there where supposedly an underground city is. It's kind of hard not to put two and two together. And JC has a theory that it's been inhabited.
Okay, JC.
That if it's there.
JC, you're here. I want to hear your theory in full detail. Let's explain it to our listeners.
We've got other stories and different reports and things coming out of the canyon where you virtually walk through a canyon wall into an underground, as you will, a facility, just walking through a holographic-type rock structure. You walk right in through it. And there's a lot of talk about that with even the Native Americans walking through a wall, basically, a wall. And there's people there still. In the Hopi creation story, we've got a situation where they were kept underground for a fire incident. There was fire going on, so they were kept safe underground. And later there was an ice incident, and they were kept safely underground by the ant people.
The ant people?
Yeah.
Sounds almost like Flash Gordon. You have the clay people, now you have the ant people. You also have the uncle people?
I don't know.
That's a bad one, but I couldn't help it. Okay, explain who the ant people are.
They fed them, took care of them while they were being sequestered underground for whatever disastrous things that were happening up on the surface. And then they were let out. And now they're out into the fourth world. And this is the last world.
This has happened three times.
Yeah.
This has happened three times in the past.
So this is an area rich in stories, culture, significance to these Native Americans. And they're going to put a resort and a casino there.
Does that also mean, JC, that they're going to basically destroy the underground city completely or just build over it or what?
If I know what I know of Smithsonian, if they can't put it in their little box and explain it, then they will put it in a box and they'll hide it. That's how they work. We've got
just like that last scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Exactly. We've probably got, there's over 300 skeletons down in the basement of Smithsonian. With the proper credentials, you can go down there and look at them. They're never going to put them on display because they're between 8 and 14 feet tall. Some of them are pushing 16 feet tall. And they don't fit into their box. So they're just going to leave them in the basement. They can't explain it in our human history where these giants came from.
This is basement logic.
Yeah, basement logic.
It's not even like a Warehouse 13. Warehouse 13, of course, is the Sci-Fi Channel show. You know what I'm talking about, where they have all these amazing artifacts of history stored, but those are living artifacts almost. Here it's just like hiding everything.
They're hiding lots of things. Lots of things. And I think they're like the original CIA. You know, okay, cover this Grand Canyon thing up. We don't want any foreign countries having claim to having been here long before the Native Americans or anyone else. We don't want this to get out, so hide it. Hide it.
Well, we can't have the ancient Egyptians in America. How could that be? How could they get here? How would they know we even existed? Didn't Columbus discover America? Oh, wait, the Indians were here first.
I don't think they were prone to be discovered either. It wasn't a good time for them.
There's information, Gene, that cavemen from the south of France were able to come and cross the ice flows that were all connected in the wintertime and off of northern Europe and ended up in America 20,000 years ago. We know this for a fact. We have Silurian points and other artifacts that absolutely slam dunk prove that European, Cro-Magnon man, if you will, or cavemen, actually were in America way before the land bridge theory, which has been prevailing for 50 years now, about the migration from Asia of the Athabascan people down into America 12,000, 13,000 years ago. This is pretty much sure there were waves of immigration, but we do know that there is evidence that has been verified of earlier inhabitation here. And there's also evidence that suggests the Mi'kmaq Indians of southern Canada in the east actually may have emigrated the other way and developed into what are now called today the Picts, the blue-faced diminutive beings of the northern British Isles. So, as time goes on and academia, kind of lurches forward inch by inch, more and more of this paradigm shifting information is being accepted as mundane, and we find out more and more. And I think this whole idea of an underground city at Grand Canyon makes perfect sense when you look at the oral tradition of the primordial cultures on this continent.
With Gene and Chris, we have J.C. Johnson, and that means you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.